So I was telling Jackie this morning about what was the other part of the service over there in Sparta. I just bring, you know, some good news. You know, I know that we have good times over here. But I saw something over there that I long for over here, and I believe I've spoken to the pastor about it before. But one particular night, we were over there in service, and I was telling Jackie, I said, boy, you know, we went over there Friday night service, then Saturday morning service, then Saturday night service, then Sunday morning service. I'm laying in that bed. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I ain't used to this. And I said, let me get up out of this bed and get on to church. I came out here to go to church. So that Saturday night we got up, didn't feel like it, wore out. And when we got into church, the service, they were already praising God in prayer. It was so thick that you could literally, it was so thick, it was like a high praise service. By the time we got done, we must have praised the Lord, what'd you say, over 2 hours or so? A long time. And the preacher, he was wise. Told Pastor, he looked out there and he wanted to preach so bad. But he said, at this point, I just can't do no more. Let's take an offering. I mean, we were so caught up in prayer. I was on my knees. He was on the floor on the knees. And I looked around and the altar was just full. I mean, people were repenting. I mean, they were just, the past and all. I mean, they were just, it was just full. And I mean, those are the service I long for. When God, and nobody got to preach to you. You get in that praise. You come here and start praying, seeking God, reaching out. Ain't nobody got to call you to the altar. I mean, the altar was full. I don't know how many steps they got, but both sides were just full. People just repenting and everything. So I thank the Lord for being part of the service. And my wife said she wasn't going to go because all of the guys had bailed out on me. I said, you got to go. You can't send me and Covey over there by herself. You got to go. You know, so she went on and went. She said, well, I'm glad I came because Lord really blessed me. And I told her about the songs and all. I said, get up and start praising Lord. God, you can't get no sleep. Get up, go downstairs, start walking, praising the Lord. You don't know what the Lord want to do for you. You know, later and try to go to sleep. Get on up. But I thank the Lord this morning for another opportunity. Thank God for my pastor for entrusting me with the pulpit. Because I know you don't get up here unless. She ain't going to let anybody get up her soul. I thank the Lord that I'm not just anybody. I thank the Lord for that. The Lord has been dealing with me so I've been having dreams. I'm not a dreamer. The other Wednesday we was here. Can I just take my time, Pastor? The other Wednesday we was here praying, and we had a good prayer. God gave me a vision of this little boy. He was in a fetal position, and he had this bob cut. It was an Asian kid, you know, at the time I didn't know, and I thought it was Muslim, but come find out that some Asian people, they are Muslims. But anyway, he was in his fetal position like he was hiding from something, but he had something in his hand he was reading, and it was the Bible, like he was sneaking to read. And so I began to reach out for him back there. So the following night, God gave me a dream, and this kid came back, but he was like he was real up close to me, personal. Before, I can see him afar off when I was here praying. But this time, he was real close up to me. And I began to pray for him again, intercede for him again. But then at the end, it was Jalen that was close to me. And his brother was coming to his aid for some reason. I could not remember all of the dreams, so I asked God to give him the dream back. But his brother was coming to his aid for some reason. And then at the very end of the dream, that kid appeared again. Jalen, it was first Jalen, but then Jalen turned into this kid. And I started interceding. So I thank the Lord for the dreams that he's given, because I'm not a dreamer. I go to sleep, and I'm just there asleep. You know, but God has been waking me up with the dreams. And I know it's the last time. It's just the last days that we're in. You know, the dreams and the visions and the tongues. And I'm telling you, I just been having a ball. Lord just been laying it on me thick. I'm telling you. He been laying it on me thick. And I thank him. I had an opportunity to speak a little bit over there on Saturday morning. To bless the people. Just trying to get my feet wet. You know, I want to do what God wants me to do. You know, I do. And sometimes I feel like, Lord, I ain't got what it take. And every time that spirit comes, he come and lift that spirit and take it from me and say, you don't have what it takes. As long as you stay at me, you have everything. You have it all. As long as you stay at me and not out, you know, not outside me, you get outside me, then you won't have nothing. You won't have what it take, what it speak, what it sound like, what it look. You won't have nothing. So as long as you stay in me, you're going to have what it take. And I thank the Lord for that. My heart is burdened for the word of God and a lot of things that's going on. And you ask questions, you know, Lord, why? You know, what can we do? What is my purpose? Lord, what else can we do? And I began to open up the book of Judges. And I started to read and I remember some scriptures that Jesus said. So my burden is for the people and trying to help people in the church. But the work is just so is needed outside the church. I had an opportunity Friday, just riding through Moline Acres. And there's just so many hurt people. And they don't know what to do. And so I rolled up on my brother's ex-girlfriend and her daughter, Yvette and Eva. And the lady looked like she aged 20 years. I mean, eyebrows gray. I mean, just gray everywhere. And she in her early 50s. And I sat there and talked to them for a while. And I began to witness to them. And the church has hurt her and her kids. And, you know, things just ain't right. But, you know, I have to tell people that I don't care what church you go to, you're not going to find a perfect people. You're not going to find a perfect pastor. You're not going to find a perfect deacon. You're not going to, because, one, you're not perfect, and you're looking for perfection. So when you look for perfection, you got to look to Jesus. You got to look to the word of God if you want perfection. If you want to know how this thing is supposed to be, don't look at your pastor. Don't look at your brother, you know, because there is failure in us. You know, there is faults in us. And we all have to come to grips with that. We strive for perfection. But when you start taking your eyes off Jesus, then, hey, look, you get ready to sink. Get ready for your fall. Get ready to get off the wrong road, because we all sin, but we don't do it willfully. But the people, they hold these people, this office, to such a high esteem to where if they get off, it's like, hey, I can't make it. You know, I just can't do it now because the pastor, you know, he did such. I'm like, well, I said, where do you go now? Well, I go over here and she found something wrong with him. I said, why don't you get, you got a Bible? And I don't know how, what all the Lord had me tell this woman and her child. So they always ask, where's your church? Because I talk old fashioned to them. I give them the stuff that I get. You know, I'm always, you know, the Lord told me that you can get out here and try to find a new sermon. If you want to, you ain't going to find a new sermon. I learned that. You got to preach what they preached way back then. You got to preach what she preaching right now. Don't look for nothing new. You preach the gospel. You just tell them what the Bible says and leave it at that. You know, a lot of times we look for this ooh-ah, you know, sermon. But if you tell them what the Lord wants them to hear and what they need to hear, they'll be okay. And, you know, when you just speak plain to them, oh, according to what the words, and you let them read, because I take my Bible with me every day to work. I ain't say I read it every day because I don't have a chance to, but when I get a chance, I whip it out on them. And I say, look, I show it to you. Then around the corner, three sisters, natural sisters. One just got robbed the other night. And I say,
And I always, where do you worship? And they begin to, well, I worship at so-and-so, so-and-so. You know, I say, so you saved? Yeah, we saved. I say, the Bible tells us that if we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. I said, you saved, you saved, you saved. Y'all natural born, y'all sisters in the flesh and in the spirit. I said, man, y'all can shake up this block. I said, do y'all pray? No. I said, all you got to do is start praying. You start fasting, start praying, watch and see that they don't skip over your house. Yeah, my house got broken. I said, watch and see that they'll skip over your house and go to the neighbor's house. And then when you start caring for your neighbors, they'll skip over your neighbors and be on the next block. I said, all you got to do is try. It works. And I begin to give them some testimonies. And people look at you crazy. Sometimes they don't believe what you say. You know, they don't believe what you say sometimes. But you have some that will believe what you say. So it's a work out there. And I'm telling you, I enjoy being out there. I do. Not to pat myself on the back, but to help some people. Because when you leave folk and they say it was God, and I say thank you. This elderly lady in New City, she's losing her house. She going through. Now, I told her my testimony, told her what God would do for you. It was God that sent you here, son. You know, so just give God the glory, not me. Don't lift up Brother Al. Lift up the Lord. So I'm going to try to encourage you all today and maybe spark something in you, in all of us, that we need to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you this morning, Lord. First of all, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to handle your word, Lord. Thank you, God, for allowing me to stand before your people, God, your precious people whom you care for, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will speak through me, God. Use me, God, to edify, God. Use me to build up, God. Use me to encourage your people, Lord. If it ain't nothing but one seed, God, let me deposit one seed then. Yeah. Father, I ask his blessings in Jesus' name. I'm going to be reading in the book of Judges chapter 20. But I'm going to bring you up to speed a little bit what was going on before I get off into this reading. Back in 2019 and 18, there was this Levite man. And it was kind of like two stories to me. It was like Hosea, and it was like when Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had this wife, and the Bible says that she played the harlot. And she left, you know, looking for men. Then he went after her and caught up with her at her father's house, and he started to bring her back home. So on their journey home, they passed through many cities. And his servant that was with him said, let's journey here for the night. And he said, no, I can't stay here because these people aren't, they're not people of God. They're not children of God. These ain't my people, so we ain't going to lodge in the street here. You know, we stay here in the street, they kill us. They might rob us. Ain't nobody going to take us in. So they came to the tribe of Benjamin in Gilead. What's this? In Gilead. So they wandered in the street, and it got dark, and they began to sit in the street, and this man found him in the street, and he took him in. So when he took him in, these men of the city, the Benjamites, they came to this man's door asking for the man. Send him out that we may know him. And the man said, no, get away from here. You know, don't bother this man. We have a daughter. I'd send my daughter out. He's got a wife. I'd send my wife out. Then, no, we want him. So they sent the women out. When they sent the servant, the Levite's, a wife out, they did some horrible things to her, and they left her for dead. She came back to his doorstep, and they left her for dead. So I'm going to pick up in verse 1, chapter 20. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation were gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord of Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were going up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness in the Levite husband of the woman that was slain and answered and said, I came to Gibeah that belonged to Benjamin, and I and my concubine, they lodged to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me, and my concubine have they forced that she is dead. Look, he's telling them, look, this how it went down. They want to know, look, what happened? What happened to you? And he said, I took my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. So this man cut his wife up, sent her pieces, 12 pieces, one for each tribe, to let them know what went on. In other words, I'm telling y'all what's in the camp. I'm telling y'all what's going on in the city. I'm telling y'all what's among the brethren. So he cut her up and sent her out to these 12 tribes. And he said, behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give her your advice and counsel. Now y'all tell me what to do. You know, we the church people, tell me what to do. All of this stuff is going on. What shall we do? What can I do? I'm just letting y'all know what's going on. So all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn to his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against this, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of 1,000, 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victuals for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that was wrought in Israel. In other words, he's saying, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up to Benjamin. We're going to take these men, and they're going to go and get some food for us, because right now, it's time for us. We may be going to war right now. You know, it ain't that many of them, but they may not obey. They may put up a resistance. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go up and find out what's going on. So all the men of Israel went and gathered against the city, knit it together as one man. Sometimes, you know, we have to come together to whoop the devil. You know, sometimes, you know, we can be going through some things, and sometimes people just sit there. They won't say nothing to nobody. You can have trials and tests, and, you know, you try to stand as much as you can. But, you know, the Bible tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000 to flight. So we bind our forces together, then we can whoop the devil. Sometimes you got to go and say, look, I need some help. I need some backup. I need somebody to support me. I know when I've been sick, I try to test the waters. I try to use my faith. But God let me know that, look, you've been sick long enough. It's time to do what I tell you to do. It's time to call for the elders of the church. Don't wait for the elders to call you. Call for the elders of the church. So I'm calling for the elders of the church. And not one time that I've called for the elders when I was sick that I didn't get up out of my sick bed. Not one time. Not one time. So when we're going through, we got to have some backup. It's a whole lot of us. Sometimes it may take 3. And I'm figuring out God's, I kind of figure out his mathematics. When you give up something, when you give up something, you go on a fast or something like that, you're taking in, but you're giving away. God said one can put 1,000, 2 10,000. So when you put the 3 in there, 4 in there, we don't know what God going to do. If the 2 don't work, look, go get some reinforcement. If the 3 don't work, hey, look, I better call brother. If the 4 don't work, I'm going to keep on calling, keep on praying, keep on, you know, seeking God until I get my help. I'm going to call brother Flippo. I'm going to call this brother. I was on my job and wasn't feeling good one day. I was so sick. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, call somebody. He didn't say call nobody here at this church, which I wanted to. But he said, call the guys that I pray with at church, at work. So I called them that day. We stopped We touched and agreed. I mean, that very instant, I started to get better. And, man, I let them know that God touched my body. God healed me. It ain't that we ain't going to go through, saints of God. We going to go through. God did not promise us no Cadillac. He didn't promise us no white horse. God promised us a donkey. He promised us a wagon. Those things are going to get you by. It'll get you from point A to point B. But God did promise us that we will be saved. God promised to save our souls. We will have a house in heaven. We will have a place where we ain't got to worry about this stuff no more. So don't be sitting around letting the devil beat you down. Get up and call for some reinforcement. That's what they did. They all came together, and they came up to Benjamin in verse 12. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from us." But the children of Benjamin will not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Now look, getting rid of the sin. The Bible tells us, look, if there's any sin among you, Jesus said, look, if your right eye offend you, pluck it out. He said it's better for just the body to go with a part missing than the whole body go to hell. The Bible tells us that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So that was their way of getting rid of the sin back then. We got to get rid of these guys because, one, they are abhorring these guys that did all of this wickedness. We want them, but they don't want to give them up. Now we got to go up against, we got to get them all. We got to wipe all this sin out. We got to get rid of all the sin. The Bible said a little leaven leavens a whole lump. So the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time of the city, 26,000 men that drew swords, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all these people that were 700 chosen men, left-handed, everyone that could sling stones at an hairbreadth and not miss. Look, they saying, look, they got 26,000 men, and Gibeah got 700 left-hand men. Now, they got some men that sound like they're sharpshooters. If they cast the stones, they can hit you wherever you at. If they shooting arrows, it don't make no difference. You peeping out behind of a tree, he can hit you right between the eyes. They said these left-hand guys sound like they were some awesome guys. But the Bible tells us, look, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. None. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:13, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Sometimes we leave the house, saints of God, with no shoes on. Sometimes we got the wrong shoes on. The Bible tells we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Sometimes we leave with our running shoes on. Sometimes we leave with our hiking boots on. Sometimes we leave with our basketball shoes on. We got the wrong thing on our feet. Sometimes we'll step out there and got nothing on our feet, and you're getting pinched and you're stepping on the devil without nothing on your feet. The Bible tells us that, look, and don't make no difference what you're going through. Bring your shoes. Bring the correct attire. Put on the whole armor of God, all of it. That's what God wants you to do. And he said, above all, take the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, above all of these, the helmet, the sword, take the shield of faith. It don't make no difference if they got left-hand slingers. It don't make no difference if they throwing rocks. All you got to do is have that shield of faith. I watch cartoons with my sons, and they got these guys, they have these shields, and they be throwing these darts and these bullets and stuff, and the shield just absorb them. The Bible, God telling us, the saints of God, that it don't make no difference what the devil said, what he's throwing at you. We are strong enough to absorb that stuff. We got power in us, saints of God. We got power. And when you got the shield of faith, it don't make no difference who are saying what. Your brother, your sister, sometimes, like you say, Donald, you got something else on the edge of your tongue that you want to say. But sometimes you just got to be quiet so you won't offend nobody. Be quiet so you won't repent. And just have that shield of faith. So when they get to talking, you'll be able to stand their work. It don't make no difference. They let them talk. When they get to talking at church, it don't make no difference. Let them talk. I got my shield. I got my armor on today. I'm shod with the preparation of the gospel. I got it all. Sometimes you got to mix something with it. You know, you got to mix something with it. You got to do something other than what you're doing. And the men of Israel, besides Benjamin, were number 400,000 men that drew sword. And all these were men of war. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God, saying, which of us should go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah should go up. I asked the question, I said, Lord, why Judah? And I know Judah is the tribe with the line of Judah. But Judah means praise. It says, send the praise up. When you're going through the past, say, send a praise up. Come on and go. Let's send a praise first. In his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with a praise. We got to send a praise up. You got to send a praise up. But guess what? Sometimes that praise to go up, won't no blessing come down. That praise to go up, but won't no blessing come down. So they sent Judah out. We sent the praise up, it said. And the children of Israel rose in the morning. And encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground the Israelites, 22,000 men. And the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array at first. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to the battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up again. Well, Pastor, I praised the Lord, but didn't nothing happen. Go praise him again, Brother Al. Go again. Go inquire again. Go and lift your hands up and praise him again. See if you get your blessing then. If you don't get your blessing then, come back and I got something else for you. So that's what they did. They went the second time. In the same place that they went before, we're going to send up a praise. And they got whipped again. Now I'm the 25. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground the children of Israel again, 18,000 men that drew sword. Then, y'all, all the children of Israel, all the people, went up and came into the house of God and wept. And they sat before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. See, now then all of them went up. We still getting whooped, yeah? I'm praising God. I'm serving him. I'm doing the best that I know how. Pastor told me go back and praise him again. I'm praising him again. What else can I do? What else do I need to do, Pastor? Say, look, go up and weep. They said all the people gather. That's what I was talking about earlier. All of us need to get together. All of us come in here on a Wednesday night, we'll see some. I believe we'll see the gifts flowing. I believe we'll see prophesying. I believe we'll see interpretation. I believe we'll see the gift of healing. But don't let us try to get it all for ourselves. It's a body. Somebody prophesy over there, somebody over here going to interpret it. Somebody going to interpret. When I was out there Saturday night, the pastor began to speak in tongues. And I know I was taught better. When you're speaking in tongues, silence. God trying to say something. He trying to tell us something. So I got on the edge of my seat, my bench, and I was just saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just trying to say, Lord, I've been asking, Lord. Lord gave me gift interpretation. The man of God said, trust God for he won't fail you. Seek God for he won't fail you. So I sat down. I said, Lord, I want to make sure this is right. So I started to flip through my Bible while they was praising. So I found Corinthians. I need to see how it go. I know we're supposed to interpret. You gave me the words. And I looked over to her and I said, Twan, I think I interpreted. What are you saying? She said, yeah, seek. I said, yeah, seek God for he won't fail you. She said, you got just that out of all of that? I said, that's all that he revealed to me. You know, that's all, hey. So I started searching scripture and said, well, let the first hold his peace and let the second. So I held my peace, but I found out, Pastor, I was the first. I was supposed to stand up and speak. Because the other young man, David, Pastor Richardson, said that God gave him interpretation too. So I'm sitting waiting on somebody to get up, and I fixed my eyes on the preacher, and he looking down at me, and we locked, and I'm saying, Lord, let him point. Just let him say something. Let him look, you know, do something to let me know. I said, you supposed to stood up and spoke. And I believe if God would have tore that place up, I really believe the people been clamoring the cheers and everything else. So sometimes, you know, we got to come together. It's good to be together. It's good to have a prayer over here. Prayer, but I mean, what is going to be like when we all get together? You know, when we all get to heaven, how about let us all get together here on earth first? You know, let us all get together right here on earth. You know, we'll see some things happen. We want the yokes broken. Let us all get together. He said, look, they sat down and wept before the Lord. Sometimes you got to stay there. Stay at his feet like Mary did. She stayed at his feet because she knew something was at his feet. The word of God was just falling down on her because I know Jesus was speaking to her. But the other one somewhere doing cleanup like we do. Well, I know I'm supposed to be at church. I got this to do, what you say. I got that to do. So by the time you get through doing all that you got to do, you too tired to hear the word. You too tired to even go listen to the word. So they sat at his feet. And the Bible says that they fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. See, sometimes we think that we got to fast 40 days, 40 nights, 3 days. They just fast until evening. I think somebody called us early this week, say, let's push back a plate. That's what I'm talking about. I've been trying to train my body to fast. I've been asking God, Lord, you sent me on the fast. You know, my wife said I'm getting skinny. Some other folk in the church said, you losing weight. I said, that's all right. You know, that's what I'm doing. It's for a cause. You know, I'll gain it back. If I don't gain it back, then so what? Lord, just strengthen my bones. You know, make sure I'm healthy. I'm well. Because I've been saying, Lord, I'm doing this Wednesday fast. And then we got a call. I said, yeah, I'm going to do them 3 days. I'm going to do this. And Lord, I'm trying to train my mind what I'm trying to tell y'all. Because it's going to come a day that where we're going to have to fast. And that day is today. We got to fast and pray. That's what we got to do. Not just only pray. Don't only praise God. You got to mix something with it. The Bible said the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But the gospel did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. You got to mix something else with prayer. Fast. And I'm sorry, saints. I've come to a conclusion. My fasting has been wrong for me. With the television, the radio, things. He told me to push back some plates. I got to push back some food. I got rid of the pork. I got rid of the Kool-Aid. I said, Lord, I'm doing it for you. But Lord, take me on a fast. Because as I go out there, how could I not have the compassion? I mean, how could you not see the need? Yeah, I got needs. You know, when you get out there and you see other folk, my needs ain't no needs. You know, they needs, but they become, Lord, maybe it was just a desire that I wanted. You know, these people are hurting out there. What can we do? It didn't say just for the saints. He said the poor have the gospel preached to them. We got to get out there and get the poor. And if we don't get the poor, we're going to be in trouble. If you've done it unto them, the least of these, you've done it unto me, he said. If you ain't done it unto the least of these, you have not done it unto me, he said. So we got to get out there, saints. We got to go. We got to fast and pray. We're the church. There was a man brought his son to the disciples. And he said, Lord, I brought my son that was vexed. He was a lunatic, jumping in out the fire and in and out the water. I brought him to your disciples, the church, and they couldn't heal him. I don't know if Jesus got a little mad, but as I read it, maybe that's me saying he was mad. He said, oh, faithless generation, how long will I be with you? You know, how long will I mean, come on. He said, bring him here. He rebuked the devil, and the devil came out. Well, see, that's Jesus. What about you? What about me, Brother Al? I'm little Jesus. You know, I'm the king's son. I'm supposed to have the same power. You know, he said he would give me the power. Either I got the power, don't know how to use it, or I don't got the power. We got to search ourselves. Something's going wrong. Because it's too much of the saints, first of all, that's sick, running to the doctor, spending all their money. But as for me, I've been to the doctor. But when I go to the doctor, and the doctor, especially when they say they can't help you, I can't help you. And my kids, they got a little angry at me. So we all sitting at the counter, Daddy, what you mean? I say, man, baby, I went to the doctor, and the doctor say they can't help. What you want me to do? And right then and there, I just got up out the chair. I say, I'm finna go and do what I should have done in the first place. I'm finna get on my knees and ask God to hear me. I should have been calling the saints and said, y'all stand with me with this thing. I should have lost that pride and say, look, this is going on. I need some help. If you really want to be saved, if you really want to be healed, you'll lose that pride. You will swallow it. It will go down your throat into your belly, and you will say, look, I need some help. I need to be healed. But yet, we sit there, I'm going through for the Lord. Man, you ain't got to go through. You ain't got to go through. I talked to this brother, and I told my wife, I said, boy, sometimes when he calls, I hate to answer the phone. I do. I'm like, man, I don't say this, but within my spirit, what do they teach you at your church? You know, I don't want to judge. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I don't want to judge nobody, you ain't measuring up, man. You know, is that judging, Pastor? You ain't measuring up. The Bible says this. The Bible says that you ain't, come on. I know you're going through. Who ain't going through in here? Raise your hand. Who ain't waiting on something right now? Raise your hand. Who waiting on the healing? Brother Al waiting on healing. Who waiting on financial blessing? Brother Al waiting on. I'm waiting on my children to be saved. But while in the midst of my waiting, I'm not finna walk around and give the devil no credit and give him no victory, give him no glory. I'm not finna do that. I'm like, I got to go the other way because here he comes. Even though it's a brother in the Lord. But I say, Lord, let me try to encourage. You know, I don't want God being angry at me. So I try to encourage the brother, and he calls every day, 2-3 times a day. But now I've learned. I found the key. When he called, he began to preach. He began to edify himself. And I just listen. Yeah. Hey, man. Boy, you right. Go ahead, brother. And when he get off the phone, he's up. And when I see him the next time, he's still up. I said, go on, preach it, man. You know, you have to find a way to encourage them. You know, sometimes you can just keep on whipping the word. They want to get something off of their chest, too. I said, go on, get it off your chest, man. I'll listen to you. Hey, man, hey. Oh, and customers leaning in my window. Yeah. Man, all right. But see, we got to fast and pray. We got to push back some plates. We got to get with it. So Jesus said, bring him here. I'll heal him. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil came out of him. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus said, why couldn't we do that? That was my question. Lord, why can't we do that? Why ain't the church doing that? What happened? What are we not doing? You know, and I know some of the saints, they get so angry. Don't say I ain't got no faith. Don't say I ain't believing God. Well, who you going to blame, God? If this thing ain't happened, I mean, who you point the finger at? You know, somebody got to take the blame. It ain't none of Jesus. Somebody got to take the fall. It ain't none of Jesus. He done already been to the cross already. You going to ask him to go back? No. It's us. It's you. We ain't doing this thing. He left it for us. He going somewhere to prepare a place for that we come if we can make it. He trying to, look, I'm making a place for you. We still cooking dinner. It's going to be a whole lot of y'all at the table. We had to build another section of the table because some more coming in. Some more than got saved. So we had to go and build some more houses because the more than got saved. He's still working. He's still sitting at the right hand of majesty. The devil is a lie, Father. He a lie. He gave his life. He gave his life to me. The devil's, don't get out of here, devil. Come back. You know, why can't we do it, Jesus? He said, because of your unbelief. Now, if you ain't doing it, it's because our unbelief or we just ain't doing it. One of the two. One of the two. If we ain't doing it, we ain't doing it. If you ain't laying hands and people recovering, then you got to, Lord, why? He said, look, because of your unbelief. He said, look, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, he said, be thou removed and cast in the sea. And he said, it will be so. He said, but this kind. That's where I'm getting to, saints of God. This kind of faith, this kind comes nothing but by fasting and prayer. If we want to see some miracles, come on, let's get with it. Let's push back some plates. If we want to see some things happening in the church, outside the church, you'll come back with all kind of reports. And some of the folk ain't going to believe it. Too good to be true. That's not Brother Al, not Sister Jack, no. Not Sister Lindsay, no. Well, amen. That's good for you, honey. And God out there raising up dead folk, God healing folk, you know. That's, you know, this kind of faith. If we had this kind of faith, we'll see our sons and daughters saved. If we had this kind of faith that Jesus talked about, we can go down there in Ferguson. We can go in our backyard. We can go to our neighbors. We can see the kids out here that's struggling with the heroin. If we had this kind of faith, we'd be in their face talking about what Jesus want to talk about. If we had this kind of faith, we need this kind of faith. The Bible tells us, saints of God, see, back in Judges, it said that they didn't, in those days, they did not have a king in the land. So man did whatever he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do. He had nobody to answer to. That's why they were acting up. But it seemed like in these days, we ain't got no king either. Folk doing what they want to do, when they want to do it, who they want to do it to. If she can marry a woman, then I can marry a man. You know? If he can go in there and break in somebody's house, I can go over and break in somebody's store. We doing what we want to do. We act like ain't no king in the land. The Bible tells us that where the word of the king is, there is power. And we know that there is a king in the land. There's a king in the land. There's a king in you. There's a king in you. King in you. King in you. There's a king in you. There's a king in me. The king is in the land. And where the word of the king is, there is power. If the word is in you, then there's power down here. Power, we got power. We got authority over this stuff. We got authority over. We can rebuke the devil. We can heal the sick. But we got to push back some plates. We got to fast. We got to pray. And it can't be a fast where, well, Lord, you knows. We really got to fast. You know, we got to have that acceptable fast where the Bible says where we can break the yokes, heal the sick, set the captive free. There's some folk out there that's, I ain't talking about in jail. I'm talking about captive, locked up in the mind. Don't think it's no other way. It just impossible. It can't be true. I've been this way for a long time. Too long now. This is my destiny. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie and the father of it. This kind of faith will cause us to get up and get out. This kind of faith will cause you to say, well, I'm finna go over here, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to Hidden Valley in 2 weeks, but I don't know what I'm going to do. But you, one thing, God going to see me, I'm finna step out the boat. You know, I know a few little scriptures, but one thing I know, I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to come and help me because I'm doing it unto God. I'm pushing back some place and I want to go over there. And I'm telling you, I said, these folk are going to remember me. They're going to remember Brother Al's faith. I'm going over there. I'm getting out the boat. I don't know what's going to happen. I may be able to talk to one, may be able to talk to none. But after that, I'm going to go back again. When he say go back, he told me to go, so I'm going. With this kind of faith, we're going to see some miracles happen. With that kind of faith that Jesus is talking about, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, you ain't got to worry about them. Your health and your body, it just gets better. He don't tell no lie. God is true. He's real. And he show us every time. But, you know, I believe that sometimes that when God show us, we get excited. Well, Lord, that's it. No, Lord, I want some more. You know? They told me there is much more to you. You know, this feels good. It felt good to speak in tongues. But I'm going to tell you what was better than speaking in tongues. when I laid my hands on my ankle and my ankle did not puff, it didn't poof, it didn't do nothing. That was much better than speaking in tongues. It was. When I can speak to this member, we get out there, start speaking to those members and see their lives change and see them come to Christ, say, hey, I want whatever it take. Tell me what I got to do. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some lives to be changed. I'm looking for some people to be helped. People need help out here. You know, people need help. So, saints of God, this kind of faith is what we got to have. We want to see our children say. This kind of faith we got to have. We want to see our neighborhoods change. And I ain't just talking about your surroundings. It's all kind of neighborhoods. Those are your neighbors. Those are God's children. God, they may not be saved yet. He said don't judge nothing before it's time. You know, one of the disciples with Jesus, the people was doing something. He said, Lord, let's call down some fire and consume them. Jesus turned around and rebuked him and said, I ain't come to destroy man. That's the devil's job. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You want to consume them since you done got saved? You ain't finished yet, Peter. You're going to deny me in a little bit. Come on. Give them folk a chance. We don't know. Don't judge nothing before it's time. With this kind of faith, saints, we can, and I believe we will, going to shake up this nation, this world. I believe we're going to do what the disciples did. They shook up the world. They turned the world upside down. I want to see this world flip. I want to see it flip. So, saints of God, be blessed. I hope that I've said something to inspire you, to encourage you, to let you know that if you start fast and you start praying, I don't care how hard, if you fall, get up. Get on up. I just fell. Say, Lord, I ain't complete this fast. But guess what? I'm finna go on another one. You know? I want what God said I'm supposed to have. I'm going to earnestly contend for this faith that was once delivered to me. Don't give me the faith and then say, hey, look, you got to give it back. It's too late. Only way you can get this faith is, they say, out of my dead body. Because ain't no other way it can come out. You know? Ain't no other way. You can't pull it out. You can't pry it out. You can't pray it out. It's in me. I want it. It's mine. I got it. I love it.